What's up, Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
Who will be at the Onchero Improv of March 17th.
March 17th, St. Patty's Day.
With PK.
Hosting.
And Rodrigo Torres, of course. And Armando Cosillo. And Chris Torino.
Hey, bro.
Also, Pops might show up and strangle somebody, right?
And Flaco, too.
Oh, yeah. Flaco's going to be there.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro. Check him out. Flaco's hilarious. He'll be there. And Armando Cosillo.
Yeah, man.
So what's up, fool? We did Nokia, man.
Chilling, dog.
We did Nokia last Saturday night. It was sold out. Two shows sold out. Thank you, everybody who showed up, man. We had a surprise opening guest, Las Cafeteras.
Hell yeah, they tore it up, dog.
Yo no creo en fronteras. Yo no creo en fronteras. So yo no creo fronteras. No somos cantineros. Somos chicanos. I don't know the lyrics, but you man, you know, they got down, huh?
They're bad, dog. They're awesome.
But they rocked. People were surprised. You know what's funny? It was a good show, man. I felt like it was an awesome show. The music helped, you know, get everybody situated when they were sitting down.
You're right, dude.
Cause people like to sit down, you know, and see, check out. Cause people don't go to a concert because they thought it was a comedy concert. It wasn't like doing a comedy club.
Hell no.
When you keep waiting for your drinks, it was a concert. You want drinks, you have to get up and get them yourself. But it was good, man. Jose Huizar, city councilman, showed up for the first show.
Hell yeah, respect, though.
And also, Melo Manet showed up with his son and his lady, sat in the back. My nephew was there, Christopher, Sarah, Connors. Jojo was there, and his late and Christopher Lady was there. That couple was there.
Ari Stifler, and his lady.
Yeah, they were there deep. And then there was Jose Huizar showed up wearing the Felipe World shirt.
Hell yeah, that was cool. He was there with his wife. It was tight, dog.
How'd you feel up there, man? 1,500 people.
That was crazy, dog. I was fucking intense.
You didn't want to get off, huh?
I had to, dog. It was cool, dog. And you, fool?
Were people yelling, oh, yeah, man?
When I walked up, dog. Yeah, man. I mean, not that I ignored it. I already had my set in my head, dog.
Also, Marcel Arguello was there and Johnny Sanchez.
Hosting. Yeah, bro. Johnny Sanchez, the great Johnny Sanchez. No parking in his joke, go?
No parking in my parking when I park in my parking.
I was talking to that fool before. He's all, you guys wanted him to do that joke? Yeah, I don't remember how it goes all the way.
But he did it, though.
Yeah, dog. It was tight, dog. And Marcelo over there representing?
Marcelo representing for all the Salvadorians that were at the Club Nokia. There were a lot of them, huh?
Hell yeah, dude. They got crazy.
With Pico it. Union representing. I felt that this show really represented a lot of all of Los Angeles.
Yeah, dude. Everybody came through. All, you know, for like you said, fucking West, East.
East, Venice.
The Valley.
There were people there when I shouted out, where's Highland Park? They were in the front.
Oh, yeah, deep, huh?
Deep, man. Dude, they showed
those
up
like
early.
Fools, dog.
Took one train.
Yeah, those fools were deep when you mentioned them. All those motherfuckers stood up, dog.
A lot of those fools.
Hell fool, yeah.
I saw a video when I was yelling out the cities. Where you guys drive from? There was some Chola. She yelled out in her video, Wilmas!
It was, you know, Raza's cousin, dog.
She showed up, bro, from all the way from Wilmas.
Fucking Wilmitas. That's tight, dog.
Your cousin was there, man. Gabriel Wood and her Gabriel Wood. They're Torres, right?
Madera.
And who's the other dude?
The husband.
The husband. What's his name again?
Lee.
Lee. Lee Wood. Lee Wood and Gabriel Wood. You know, there was a lot of events, man, going down at the Club Nokia. It was amazing to sell out two shows, man.
Hell yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Because the Clippers were actually playing the Golden State Warriors. And that sold out.
Hell yeah.
And there were a lot of movies playing. You know, good movies were playing. It was a good night to be out.
Hell yeah, dude.
It wasn't like any crazy. Like being at a comedy club, man. You were in downtown Los Angeles, man. And a lot of people who don't travel out to Los Angeles, you know, got to see Los Angeles. A lot of people got rooms. They were partying it up, man. People were loaded.
Hell yeah.
And respectable. There was somebody wrote, I guess somebody who's never been to one of my comedy shows, they wrote, wow, I love the comedy show. The band was amazing. You have the most respectable drunk fans.
Everybody stayed in
line. You know, man, because Mexicans, we get loud and rowdy and drunk, but we still tip, man. For I don't know why, but somehow we tip now.
Hell yeah, dude. Got that little extra
We team. Go out more, man. Our generation goes out more.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, my mom and dad, we never went out, bro. Like, go see a comedy show.
Hell
yeah,
no.
Man. We stood home. They're going. It's sad, man. I know they ate tacos. They didn't bring us any.
They wanted to get to a time for themselves, dog.
That's why a lot of the fans, they get mad. They go, I wanted to bring my daughter. Well, you could have, man, with all ages. My niece showed up. She's like 12, 15 years old.
Okay, hell yeah.
Listening to jokes from everywhere. And then also, there was like a Saudi Arabian Egyptian event. I only say that because there were a lot of people there who share my blood type. And they were there. And then when I saw your cousin and her husband, when they said they went to the wrong event, they were like somewhere at this party. I said, wow, man, you guys look just like them, though.
That fool, dog, looked Armenian.
He looked Armenian. She looked like she's from, she should be hanging out with Egyptian cats, bro. For real, man. Yeah. They look like a power Armenian couple with the best no jobs paid, bro.
They live on brand.
They're big fans, man. She had your sister or your cousin. They have a CD for me. The old CD, man. The one I'm wearing is an orange CD, and the cover is me with no beard. And I think I like the length of my hair, too. It says Fool.
El Fool.
El Fool.
Yeah, that's the one you guys recorded at the Ice House on.
That's throwback. That's back in the days when I used to go up before Gabriel Iglesias.
That's 2002 right there, I think, fool.
Who has a TV show.
Yeah, man, on ABC.
On ABC is going to get probably picked up, obviously, because, man, they got to pick up one Latino show.
Hell yeah, dude. Damn.
Damn. Dude, I heard that Martin Moreno had to audition for Martin Moreno.
Oh, yeah?
So they brought in a lot of fools who look like him, probably, huh?
I didn't even know about that. Did that fool get the part or what?
That's what I heard.
Oh, okay.
I was reading down all the comments.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Oh, yeah, dude. I know he was taking acting.
And they're auditioning
classes.
For the wife, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, hell yeah, dude.
Gonna be a lot of Latinas, huh? A lot of Latinas showing up, huh?
Oh, being all sexy, huh?
Yeah, man. I didn't see a congratulations from Cristela, though. No, not one.
What happened?
We congratulating him.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, but I've been reading a tweet to see who's congratulating and who's not. I didn't see one.
She's in hiding right now, you know what I'm saying?
Crazy, huh?
Hell yeah, she's in the Middle East somewhere.
Well, her show's on Netflix. Everybody want to watch it.
And Hulu.
And Hulu. And pretty much Roku. That's funny, man. You ever Roku and chill?
Hell nah, fool. Just Netflix and chill, dude. About a month ago, that shit was tight.
Roku and chill, man, is when you go to your Roku channels, going through Netflix, going through Amazon, going through Hulu, going through all the movies, and deciding on what to watch, but you don't watch shit, you just go straight to sex. That's how my Netflix and chill will probably be, man, if I wasn't married. It'll just be me going through all the movies, talking about every movie. You seen this movie? Yeah, you never seen this movie? Oh, you seen that movie? Oh, man, I love this movie right here, man. You know who comes out in this movie? Oh, man, you got to check out this other movie. And that'll lead to my fingers, you know, taking unbuttoning those pants. You know what? Let's get comfortable, man. Put on your pajamas. You don't have pajamas? Just take your pants off, you know. My pants are already off. We're going to get a bowl of cereal, and let's watch a movie. But this is after an hour of strumming and, you know, and going through every Netflix movie till you finally say, man, it's already 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, you already had sex, you know. You just fall asleep in that movie, bro.
You killed me with that part. Let's get comfortable.
Let me get comfortable, bro. You got to get comfortable. You got to make sure they're comfortable, man. You got to lock your doors, you know, man. Hide all the sharp objects. Turn off all Wi-Fi in your house. Nah, just kidding.
Fucking Dr. Smooth, dog.
No, bro. Dude, want to hear something hilarious?
Tell me, dog.
One time we went with Big Dog, right?
Sup,
and we were
going
to bring chicks over, right? And this fool started making snacks, bro. I don't know if we talked about this.
Hors d'oeuvres, dog?
He made hors d'oeuvres, bro. This fool, I think, I don't know if he had kids yet, but he opened up all his little Lunchables, bro. All the Lunchables in his house, all of them, right? And got a big-ass plate.
A platter.
And started laying up all the crackers real neat with the Lunchable little round hams and put in the goo of cheese, bro, right there with all the crackers. Bro, the fool made a fucking a sample plate out of Lunchables.
Did they buy it? Were they all into it, dude?
Hell yeah, bro.
This one said hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro. You
never had it like
this. You got to make it look good, bro.
It's all about the presentation, you know?
Like, you know, when you have a leftover pepperonis, you know, like some people like eating that pepperoni shit, man. Man, you spread that out neatly around in a plate, bro, with some cheese and some hot mustard. Forget about it, bro.
That's just tight, dog.
You got to show them, bro. You got to show them class.
You got to show them, bro.
For reals, man. You show up. You bring a girl over to your house and you already have Jello drops already made? Shit.
Ah, this fool, dog.
You were ready, bro.
Letting all the clues out. Fuck it.
You gotta be ready, dog. Like, you gotta have snacks for chicks sometimes. You don't wanna tell them, hey, man, we have no snacks, bitch. What the fuck you think this is? You gotta get uncomfortable because then they might think, oh, I'm thirsty. I'm gonna go get some water, bitch. I got water right here. Oh, I'm kind of hungry. Oh, girl, you just don't know. I have a leftover king taco under my bed. You got to have them ready. Oh, man, I'm worried about my kids right now, man. Oh, man, here, man. I'll read you Cat in a Hat.
That's a hardcore one, though, that pops up all the time, though, huh? I'm worried about my kids. Huh?
Yeah, man. So I don't understand when women, like, you're talking to them and they tell you, yeah, man, you ever get that from a girl, like, they're trying to pick up on her at a bar, and she goes, my family comes first.
My kids
come first. Yeah, but you're trying to fuck on a Wednesday, so I guess I'm going to come first.
Except for
shit.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
LA's finest.
What's up, fool?
What's up, my dog?
What's up, brother? What's up? Illin, dog. Illin.
What's up, Venus Fleet? Hey.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Haven't seen you since the airport.
Right. I sit on a plane. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
His money was being unfolded and shit. He was making it rain.
I always like my money cash, you know what I mean? I don't trust in credit. I like that mattress money.
Don't be like 50 cents, man. Fool posted up all those bills in cash, IRS came back. Because he filed for Chapter 9, right? Bankruptcy. So supposedly you have no money. So then on Instagram, he took a picture with all his money, cash. And they said, what's up with that? So they went after that photo and after that cash.
Damn. Man, 50 don't care.
I'm going to start flossing Monopoly money wherever I go. Yeah, fool.
Counterfeit.
I own Park Place.
Man, I like your little office, man. This is big.
This is the All Things Comedy office right here.
Studio.
Studio. Put on your headphones so you can listen to us.
Hell yeah, dog.
So we're right here, man. Ladies and gentlemen, this comedian right here, I'm going to give you the long intro.
The long intro.
Yeah, buddy. This comedian right here, we go, man. You know, remember? Nah. I was talking like Barry Katz. No, this comedian, man, I met this comedian when I was working at the Wild Coyotes when it was called Daily Planet or it was called Tortillas, right?
Tortillas. And Larry.
And I was doing a stand-up comedy there. And there was some comedians, man. You know, like sometimes, man, you're just like, man, the show's dying out. You know, it's like, man, they need more comedians going up. You know, what we're going to do now? And this comedian would always show up, man, like a thief in the night. Like a comedy ghost fairy. You know, it's like 11:30 at night. The show ends at midnight. And then here comes Gruncho coming in. That's Yo, nice. Man, can I do some time? And it was like before anything, right? He would just show up. And he'll kill it, man. Kill it.
Hell yeah.
I remember a time we did a show one time, and we were performing on top of a fucking wooden pallet, man. A wooden fucking pallet, right? Yeah. All they did was add more pallets to make it look like a stage. And he goes, man, what the fuck's going on up from here, man? Y'all motherfuckers, Sally motherfuckers in here? And then he made a face, bro, like a black fool being hung. He went like this, man. 45.
Yeah, my slave bit, yeah.
I learned a lot from watching this comedian, man, because this fool just took, like, it could be like 10 people in the audience. He gives them 100% of a fucking comedy show.
Hell yeah, dog. Yeah.
And that's one that, like, whenever there's a small show, you know, no matter what, I learn from this comedian how to make that little small show bigger than it actually is.
Right.
Like, hype it up, you know? Hype it up. Like you gotta let me take this audience know that it's not 17 people, it's 300 in my head.
300, yeah.
Because that's what I love doing.
Yeah.
And then he always started his show with a little ass prayer and go straight to a dick pussy joke.
Give it up loud crowd.
And so and Wild Coyotes, you know, it's a loud Mexican crowd, right? Loud. Like you just can't be up there, man, like a black Huxtable black comedian.
Yeah, you
know?
Gotta go raw.
You can't
man.
Be up there like a hipster comedian up there. You gotta be cardigan. Raw.
Hey man, Mexicans got the gangsters crowd hands down. Until you learn how to do a real, like a hot Mexican room, you can never, you can't qualify to be a comedian. Cause you know what? It is easy to go up in a Mexican room after maybe, the first two comics, but you gotta go up after they had to, like, about that third tequila, you know what I mean? When they go, cause the later they get, everybody become comedians, you know what I mean? You don't even need a mic. Everybody just yell out yeah. shit, you know what I mean?
Everybody thinks they're funny now.
Yeah, everybody yeah. thinks they're funny.
So,
I got a joke amongst, comedians, you know, I say everybody think they funny until you put a mic in their hand. You know what I mean? Then it changes.
Hell yeah.
So, I know, right? Like, especially you give the microphone to an audience member.
Oh,
the fool. When we were Wild Coyotes, one of the bikers was there, right? Y'all know who they are from the previous episodes. And his name was also, right? And he was funny. I used to call that fool Tow Truck because he always take the ugliest chick. or whatever was there, bro. He'd just pick her up like, and he goes, "You want to go up on stage?" So, man, I let him go up on stage, and I sat down, and I heckled the shit out of him, bro. I said, "Boo, you suck, you fat ass." Right? And he just stood up there like, whoa.
You know,
it's different, bro, man. So when I went up back on stage, I said, "Man, see, this is why I do comedy, bro, and you do killing and arson and extortion."
It's different, dog. You got to learn how to handle the mic and all that shit, dude.
Hey, man, it's an art to this, man. You know, I was the first comedian that really had a gangster element, you know what I mean? Because I was just a Crip that had all Crip jokes, you know what I mean?
You started out with Crip jokes?
Yeah, I had all Crip
jokes. So you kept it hood from the beginning, then?
That's all I knew, you know what I mean? But it took me a long time to realize, you know, where my gift was bigger than where I was from.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Then I had to start, because I was scared of everybody. Even now, everybody kind of scared. Even after I did How High, I played Assistant Pimp in How High. Then I played with School Dance with Kevin Hart. So I was on Wildin' Out with Nick Cannon. You know what I mean? I toured with Mike Epps. So I got a reality show getting ready to come out. So even
it's a reality show.
It's called Comic Therapy. So it's about, like, you know, bad boys of comedies who trying to, you know, because, and I'm working on another reality show called 23 Hours and 30 Minutes After the Mic. You know what I mean?
Hell so yeah.
It's like the, you know, because people really don't realize how, you know, fucked up in the head we is, you know what I mean? We, like, really all got issues and shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, attitude problems and stuff, you know what I mean? But that's what makes us funny, you know what I mean?
And people say, and somebody, everybody has something, man.
Yeah.
Everybody has a closet where they're hiding something. People say, "Oh, he's a clean comic. He's only into the Christian shows. He's hiding something."
Yeah, we are. I never met a comic that didn't have a mental issue. You know what I mean? Like, I know I got I'll be trying to work on my attitude. Cause you know, you can't take disrespect. People just say all kind of crazy stuff to you. You know what I mean? But that's why I like, when I go to, like, especially when I worked at Mexican clubs, I learned how to, you know, like, one thing about Mexicans, they honest. they're raw honest. You know what I mean? They'll like you and be like, "I like you, but you suck." You know what I mean? Like, your comedy is garbage. It's not, you know, it's not that funny. You know what I mean? Come on, homie, get out of that bull crap. You know what I mean?
Let's tell you, I gave you only a chance, homie, because you're from Long Beach. That's it.
That's what
but
right?
At the same time, when they love you, they give it up. Like, they give it up in a, it's like crazy. The energy, like, you know, it's like just crazy. So a lot of people be scared to do their clubs because they automatically know you got to come with it. You know what I mean? It's like the real Def Jam in that mug. You know what I mean? But it's like the loyalty is, like, once they love you.
They love you.
They love you. You can't never have a bad set. Like, you could be fucking garbage and they still be, yeah, you know, they don't let you go.
I like way he bombs, eh?
Yeah, that was cool, you know.
It was a funny ass bomb.
Forward, Scruncho, when we were doing a show one time in like Long Beach, right? It was like border Long Beach, and I don't know what city it was, Compton. Carson, Compton.
Yeah.
Or, but they were, it was like for the some ghetto ass Mexican food. Remember that ghetto ass Mexican food from Long Beach? He was like a cholo, but he was balling too. We had a comedy show in the skids, bro. Like, was nothing around that area, just that fucking Mexican restaurant, and everything else was closed.
Yeah, everything else closed. It was right there on Alameda and Compton Boulevard.
His name was Loco or something.
Yeah, Loco.
No, he had a gangster name. Remember that Mexican food? He was a straight gangster, and he went up on stage, and he said, "Man, we got motherfuckers here," because he knew the audience. Scruncho knew the audience was gangster. That's how you learn from like a comic with no fear, right? Because his ghetto side came in. You know, he had to use his ghetto side to the audience. He knew there was a lot of enemies there.
Yeah.
You know? And he goes, "Man, we got motherfuckers here from Long Beach." Then he mentioned the other city. Why we can't get along, man? The only thing that separates us is a bridge.
Yeah.
And everybody died. It took me a while to get it because I'm not from the area.
Yeah.
But it was a bridge and everybody fucking died.
Hey, man.
Remember you saying that?
I never seen a comedian like Felipe. His style was so original because he was like the Wolfman Jack of Mexico. He was so local that people would get on him and he was scary in a way because it was like, and what is this fool? Because he's the only comedian that used to come to the mic looking like a serial killer. You know what I mean? And then he get up there and his style, that's like now, you know, as you mature, I can see people who are trying to take his styles and take his beats. And I'm like, "Yo, homie, I always protect comedians." I'm like, "You can't do that. It's not yours. That's Felipe." I could tell they take his mannerisms and stuff.
Cadence.
It's all original, bro. Like when other comedians were blowing up, I said, "Damn, how they looking over Felipe? He killing it." Then once he got his break, like now he like they talk about him like I don't know him. Now I be telling people, "Man, I know him. You know what I mean? I know who he is." I be trying to call him on the phone. Of course, he never pick up. I'm like, "Trust me, I know him. Ain't that his number?" now, son is like, you know, like.
Because you used to hang out, right? You used to do Scrooge used to do mics with Gabriel because they both live in Long Beach.
Yeah, me and Gabriel started, you know, Gabriel started turning me on to the
Golden Sales.
Yeah, I started, because we used to have, our cars are so raggedy, right?
Yeah,
that we used to have to put them together to get the go, you know what I mean? So when Gabriel come to my house, right, with his car battery, we'd throw it in my car and then we'd go hit the comedy circuit. You know what I'm saying? We'd do two black rooms, two white rooms. You know,
Gabriel driving that fucking shitty Volvo, bro.
He had a raggedy Volvo. I said, "Come on, Gabriel."
It was raggedy, bro. Like the stick shit was held up by a rubber band.
Yeah. And I said, "Gabriel," I thought he was cool with me. I said, "Man, I appreciate you coming to get me all the time." And I said, "Why you come get me?" He said, "I'll be honest, bro. I only come get you because I know you're going to help me push." Because the car used to break down so much. He said, we'd leave driving and come back pushing. Yeah, man.
I remember Gabriel Iglesias told me one time that he went to go pick you up and you had at your apartment when you were living in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And he said that, "Man, you had your apartment looked like immaculate, like it was pimped out."
Yeah.
Like you said, he said, "Man, Scrunch was crazy, man. He fucking dug a hole in the wall and put a fish tank in it."
Yeah, I had a built-in fish. I took the top of my closet out and I put a fish tank in there for the dining room. I had low riders at the bottom. I took the bottom of it, right, and I blocked it so water couldn't get to the bottom, right? And then I had the low riders in it, so you could sit in the living room and just hit the switches from the bottom. It was fly, homie.
Gangster, dog.
It was gangster, homie. And every time girls come over, I just pull back the closet and let them see this shit. Right? You know what I'm saying? And pull back the closet. They're like, "Dang, that's tight." You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, bro. We were just talking about this. When you came into the room, we kept talking about this, how no matter what it is, when you bring a girl over your house, you gotta let her know that you have some sort of class.
Yeah.
We're talking about this other comic. He was bringing girls over. He had nothing to eat. So the fool started opening up all his snackables, all his Lunchables, and he put them snacker tray.
Yeah. Like my apartment be so fly. My shit, I had the most flyest apartment ever, but none of this shit was paid. Rent wasn't paid. Lights were no. They thought I was being romantic. I'm like, nah, I just these candles are sort of for a reason. You know what I'm saying? They said, oh, you're so romantic. All the candles. I'm like, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I had a bug candle.
Man, I had it with none of that motherfucker paid. You know, I was looking out the door, make sure the landlord don't show up.
But get a fish tank, bro.
Fish tank.
That should be the next reality show, man. Helping off broke ass fools, man. Hook up their apartments.
Hook their apartments up, man.
To make like, it look decent.
Yeah, like look, I mastered how to look good broke. You know what I mean? That's a classic ghetto.
Teach
like,
us, bro.
Yeah, look good broke. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you know, you got little stuff like you know, always have a fresh white tee. Always clean the white around your shoes. Even if your shoes don't look good, get some fresh shoe strings. You know what I mean? If your shoes look raggedy, you put some fresh white strings in there, you look like they look authentic then. You know what I'm
That's what I would do, man. I would always make sure that the white part is clean because that's what they care about. Yeah. Who cares about the top, you know? They're vintage now.
Vintage.
Shit, yeah, man, I can't walk around with a dirty T-shirt, man. To be clean,
you know, clean, man. I'm telling you, I got a homie, man. I was in prison with him, and we said, and he was with the Southsiders, but he was in a dorm. Our was an aisle that separated the Southsiders from the brothers, so we So me and him, we used to be talking back and forth and shit, and we laughing, right? So he said, man, we'll have to make this black and brown come together. So we called all the Mexicans and called all the brothers up, and we gave this big old motivational speech. You know, it's about brotherhood. We a lot alike at the end of the day. And then after they beat both of us up, right?
This fool, dog.
So after they stumped us out both severely, right?
Severely, dog.
We in the
black and blue got together.
Yeah, we in the hospital infirmary and shit, busting up. Like we got it. We tried our best. You know?
We tried our best.
You just take that to every prison.
Yeah, but when we got out, right? So we got out and we started this organization called We Don't Forget, you know what I mean? So what it is now is an organization where we buy all uniforms. Cause he got his own little shop where he press. So I get the uniforms and he press them up and everything. So we give all uniforms to all underprivileged, like park and recreations. So we go soccer, baseball, basketball, flag football. You know what I mean? Cause you know, we come out real poor where, remember when we didn't have uniforms, you have to take Sharpies and shit and draw the number on our uniform with the Sharpie and shit. And you know, for years I used to get mad cause I thought I was number 6. Just to find out I was letter G, you know? So now we just go donate because we love dusty kids, you know what I mean? Like, I was dusty. Like, if you look at my hands, I don't wear lotion because I don't want to forget where I come from, you know what I mean? So now
I think you wear lotion, though.
The ash works for me, you know what I'm saying? Because I always say, if people respect your hands, they respect the man. So when they see your hands, they look all soft and wonderful. They say, "Ah, get the fuck out of here." You know what I'm saying?
I was counting money.
Dirty money since 12:30.
Yeah, man. But I fuck with Felipe, man.
I remember that about what you're saying about the T-shirts. Because when I was a kid, it was like, okay, guys, we're going to have a game tomorrow. Don't forget to bring the red T-shirt. And there'd be fools fucking like with a red T-shirt, like a regular tee. If you got the money, you got the four for $10.99 from downtown LA. Yeah. You're lucky to get a red one. Okay, you got a red one. But there was their fools playing with collar red T-shirt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fools be looking like fucking disco nights. Fool brothers tux.
Dang, like my first game, like my mom was real religious and shit, right? So I was like, mom, I need some shoes for my first basketball game. She said, well, you ain't even have to get some church shoes or something. How much in basketball shoes? I said, mom, she said, let me think about it. I got to make a decision. And then the day before the game, she said, I decided the Lord told me to get you some church shoes because you need something to pray in, not to play in. I said, oh, shit, right? So I got so clever, right? I took my little church boot, right? And that's how clever I was. I got some white paint. I spray painted it white. And then I took the electrical tape right? And I cut out three stripes and put the stuck the had me some three stripe Adidas. I was the first basketball player with some church Adidas boots, right? I'm playing in the, I'm playing in the game, right? I swear I'm having a game of my
scratching
life.
Scratching up the board, yeah, all black. Yeah,
they stop the game and say, "Hold on. somebody is fucking up the floor, right?" I'm looking at my shoes and the stripes kind of falling out by no. I'm saying they can take the lineup though. So I'm standing in the lineup and my shoes standing solid, right? And it's always that one little black, loud, chilling chick, right? She'll yell out, "Somebody got on church boots," right? I'm
like, bitch. Fucking speechless song.
I was scratched up the fucking
hole. I scratched the whole floor, man.
Scratcho was here.
17 points, man. They kicked me out the game, man. I had to leave. My stripes were still on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
The other you knew all the plays now.
And all the plays.
Fucked around and got a triple double.
I was sliding and traveling at the same time.
Who the fuck is playing under with a 10 speed up here?
Doing burnouts.
Looking like I
kick words on everybody.
Yeah, look like I just wrote gang signs all over the floor. Look like and Chinese gang signs on the floor.
Oh my God,
yeah. Oh my God, that's hilarious. But that's what you gotta do sometimes because a lot of parents didn't want to buy shoes, man.
Yeah, improvised, dog.
You got two pairs, that's it.
Man, we as poor as fuck.
That's why you don't see a lot of urban kids, you know, getting into hockey. Going to buy skates,
that's gear.
Too much equipment,
yeah. That's why I hate spoiled kids. I hate them with a passion.
That's why you see when you see inner city kids, like in my neighborhood, when we play baseball, you see motherfuckers hit home runs, but they're sliding all over the place because they're fucking playing with Vans. Playing baseball with Vans on a fucking dirt floor. You know how many times you fucking slide?
A grip.
Yeah. Put me in the outfield, please.
I got a little nephew. He all softy, right? He played baseball, right? So I'm like, dude, why you didn't slide? He said, nah, man, they wouldn't even uniform dirty. I said, man, like they just soft. The new kids nowadays, man, I don't like none of them.
Shit, man. I remember we were playing. We were to lose by a lot, and sometimes we didn't get our shirt dirty because you know we sucked. We were to roll our asses on the floor, bro.
Yeah,
make it look like we played the game.
Slide after the game's over, huh?
Show up all dirty, man. How was it, man? We lost 19-0.
Man, we used to stay. I stayed right across the street from the park, right? And the baseball diamond was at the other end. And my brother was so sorry, bro. They didn't put him into the game. And they, you know, my mom and them didn't support me, you know, because y'all don't know this about black people, bro. This is what people don't know about black people. We the most racist people in the world. Let me tell you why. Because racism for black people start in our own immediate family. You know, light skin, hate on the dark skin. You know what I mean? And this is what y'all don't know about black people. Most dark-complected black people was born light-skinned. The only way you knew we was going to be dark if you look behind the ears. Our true color was, that's what color we was going to be. So guess what? For 3 days, I looked just like Drake. Look, hey, that's you?
No, that's Drake.
You look like Drake too.
I get that a lot. Bruno Mars too.
Yeah, Bruno Mars, yeah.
That's funny you say that, man, because I see that the most angriest black comics are the light skinned ones.
Yeah, they're angry. You know,
it's all about race.
Yeah, because you know they get the favor early, so they get spoiled early because they all light and cute and shit. Like you know, my family, I was the only dark one, so my dad used to pay me not to go on vacations and shit. Like he just didn't like me, you know what I mean? So I used to like, what the fuck? You know. So as I got older, like I was like when you know if you're the cute kid, you get to sit in the front with the dad, right? And then the ugly ones, the dark ones, sit in the. In the back, I used to have to sit in the fucking trunk, bro. I used to have to act like I get kidnapped every time. You know what I mean?
Man, son, I never sat in the front of my life, bro. Now I'm more angry.
Like there, I was the only one because in the back you only had you know, it had certain seatbelts. So I never got a chance to wear a seatbelt, bro. They wouldn't let me wear the seatbelt. They didn't care about me like that. You know what I mean? So now that I'm older and stuff, I'm like, it taught me how really, like, you know, my dad died. That's why you should always hug your kids, bro, and tell them you love them. You know what I mean? My dad died and never said I love you. Well, he said it one time. It was a package deal. He said, I love all y'all.
Bro, I don't think we ever got that. The package deal, I love y'all.
I love all y'all.
Was he on the way out?
Yeah.
Was he staying? Because if he's on the way out,
yeah.
You got to think about it, man. Yeah. I love all y'all. See y'all later.
You got to make amends.
Yeah, man.
That's funny, man, how, like, I come from a big family. We were, like, 7, and we're all, like, different ages. But it was 3 of us that were, like, tight because we were the same ages. We were, like, 1.5 years, 1 year apart. We could be twins.
Yeah.
And, they saw a different side of my dad because my other brother, they see a nice dad, you know. They don't see the dad that used to fuck the other 3 motherfuckers up.
Yeah.
They see the dad that was not that loaded all the time.
Yeah.
They see the dad that never had a job. I had the dad that had a job and came home every day and fucked fools up.
The working.
They got the non-stress dad, you know, the dad that had time to go to 1 baseball game.
Yeah.
Shit, I used to play across the street on the park. Every time I would play, my dad would close the curtains.
It's a pop.
Were you good in sports, though?
Hey, I was the shit. I'm not bullshit.
Or was it another car?
This is how cold I was, right? That's why I was had a lot of issues with my brothers. They went to my brother. He was garbage, bro. He was garbage to the third. He never had to wash his uniform the whole year. You know what I mean?
His basketball number was a percentage.
Yeah, he was horrible, right? And I was by the time I was 9, I already had trophies everywhere. My dad came to 1 basketball game and I was freaking embarrassed, bro. He come to the game. It's on a Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning, probably 12. He walks in the gym, overdressed. He got a 3-piece suit on.
He's coaching,
a black 3-piece suit, black leather gloves, a black Godfather, black shades, looking like a hitman, gangster.
Looking like a hitman.
I was, the good part was, he sat on the wrong side of the bleachers, right?
Oh my God.
So I'm like, yes, I'm saved, right? Then, he don't know nothing about sports, right? The game get close, right? 3 seconds left in the game. I'm at the free throw line to win it or to lose it, right?
Damn.
In the middle, right where I'm at the free throw line concentrating, he decide he want to leave. He get up, walk from the stands, walk to me at the free throw line, right? And say, what you finna do?
You're lying, dog.
I swear to God, right? I said, what you mean? I'm finna say, well, you know, I'm finna go on to the house. You need to ride home. I said, everybody looking like, what the hell going on?
Oh my God, dog.
You know, so make sure you take out that trash for you leave. And just walk out like you wouldn't shit. And the referee was looking like, what the fuck?
Did you make the shot?
Hell no. Scared the shit out of me, too. Oh, man, yeah. So I come from my dad's gangster, homie. He didn't give me no love, bro. Just taught me all gangster stuff. So when I was in school, like, I didn't get, like ghetto kids, we didn't get disciplined for what we did. We got disciplined for the frustration behind what we did. I mean, if I dropped the plate, that was a 2-piece. Pop, pop. What the fuck you doing? Say excuse me. That stupid shit, right? Did I get fucked up grades, get 4 Fs? Yeah, yeah. Got to get those grades up, man. Like, yeah, just do the best you can. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know how it is, bro. It's just like, you know,
break a plate? Oh, shit.
Break a plate? That's a 2-piece.
Were you the youngest one?
That was right in the middle. You know what I'm saying? You know, my dad always tell me he should have named me Adoption. man, look at it now. See, look at it now. They eat their words. You know what I mean? Now they come to my shows uninvited. You know what I'm saying? What I like to do to my brothers and stuff, I always invite my aunties, all the ones I really didn't like, I invite them to the show, and I sit them in the front row, and then I have security remove them right before. So I hit the stage. I said, security, can you do me a favor? Get rid of them. I get rid of the ones. I always invite all my enemies to the show so I can kick them out.
Yeah, last time I seen him was at the Forum, dude. I snuck into that show, at that K-Day show.
At the K-Day, yeah.
You opened it up?
Oh, yeah. They let me shut it down. But see, like, I'm the type of comedian, like, in the urban, all the comics is really good, and I love all of them, but none of them, I ain't gonna say I'm the best, but my style is the hottest. Like, they never could fuck with me, you know what I mean? Not trying to be cocky or disrespectful.
Right.
Because they all funny, but you gotta, you know, nowadays, if you say you the best at what you do, that's taboo. You shouldn't say that because it's kind of disrespectful, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's honest. Like, they can't really fuck with me when it comes to that mic, you know what I mean?
You have that little thing of King of the Underground, right?
Yeah, like, I had the King because my style is, I've been through too much. I've been stabbed, robbed, prison, why? So now they scared of me. You know what I mean? But it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody want to see the truth. Everybody want to see a beautiful lie. Like, just lie to me. You know what I mean? Like, but when you get somebody, but the fans love me. I'm a people's, like, you know what I mean? That's why I got mattress money. You know what I mean? I rich off my fans. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got no agent. I ain't got no manager. Like, I book, but I stay on the road. You know what I mean? So I'm like the comedian they don't want you to see. You know what I mean? So everybody, that's how come all my buddies, they all like, Felipe, you know, like when you see cats like Felipe, he been the king of this, all this, especially Latino. He been killing this shit way before my voice was up on it. And I used to call him in the middle of the night, like, Felipe, why you haven't blow, bro? You should have blew up by now. You like, what the fuck, Scrunch? You know what I mean? Like, nobody could ever follow him early. You know what I mean? His style was always original, and that's what makes things. But see, styles that's original, that's hot, you know, the ones that made it, you'll think they're supposed to help you, but they make it more difficult for you. You know what I mean? So they like to bless the weak because they can stay narcissistic. See, they don't want to bless the truth because it affects their narcissistic. So once that narcissistic spirit get on you, you notice all the people we came up with that supposed to be the shit, they start fucking with all kind of weak motherfuckers who yes mans. You know what I mean? But they lose their own confidence. You know what I mean? See, rock best with rock. That's why when I'm on the show, I try to find my hottest little motherfuckers I can find because I'm going to go up behind that pressure. So I get better and better. But if you go up behind pillows, you're going to be a fucking pillow. You know what I mean? Like, go up behind the best and you'll stay the best. You know what I mean? That's like, you know, I always say, yeah, I'm the best at what I do. You know what I mean? Because consistently, I go so late, dude. I never really get a good set. You know, I go so late. Industry don't even know.
Scruncho, by the way, Scruncho has never gotten a sweet 935 spot anywhere.
Never.
Ever. Spot. That's, dude, the cush spot anywhere. The Friday spot. Night at the Laugh Factory 935. No, you're still at one.
I'm the only headliner that got, like, I'm the only, when I do a guest spot, I'm the only comedian in the country, I swear to God. When I do a guest spot, I got to go up after the headliner. They don't. My style is kind of raw, but it's not raw in the way I got a bunch of, you know, dick and pussy jokes. You know what I'm saying? My shit just raw. You know what I mean? So, but with that mentality, people love that real shit. You know what I mean? That's why they like Felipe. His shit is real. It's authentic. Ain't no, you know, it's just real. You know what I mean?
No sugarcoating and shit.
Yeah, ain't no sugarcoating. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fucking real. You know. You know, and I like Gabriel because that's my little partner. You know what I mean? But he got hands. He got to come back and break bread. You know what I mean? But he ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, he, you know, I seen him at the mall. You know what I mean? It took him 10 minutes to show me love. You know what I mean? I'm like, what's up, Gabriel? I was with my daughter. He's like, what's up? It took him. He looked at me. I got intimidated. Like, oh, shit, do you remember me? You know what I mean? Then I went to being a fan. Like, oh, shit, it's about... Gabriel, is that you? You know what I mean? It's me. I'll start explaining myself and shit like, it's me. It's Scruncho. And then finally he came out of his cage and he was like, hey, what's up, running with you? I was just fucking with you. And you know what I mean? And that's the type of love he, you know, he should have gave. But when he gave it, it was appreciated because, you know, he at that level where, you know, he could come back and bless us. You know what I mean? But at the same time, we all started together. You know what I mean? But see, we all grown men, so don't nobody owe nobody nothing because we all equally gifted. We going to get it whether you hand it to us or not or bless us or not because I'm a gangster, homie. I'm going to go get mine one way or another. You know what I mean? Because I got mattress money. But if I feel like you're not, because I'm from the hood. If you're not right, homie, I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat you. I'm going to tell you to your face, you's a bitch. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep it 100 because if you got a bunch of yes men around you and you get soft and shit, and that's how come people don't, because I'm politically incorrect. You know what I mean? They don't know what the fuck I'm going to say because nobody want to hear the truth. You got to stay according to the, you know. So when I get on the show or something, people start shaking. Oh, fuck, what are you going to say? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit, come scrunching your skates.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm honest. You know what I mean? So, like, I be trying to brag to my kids. Cause
kids?
Yeah, like my kids, like when they was younger, when they found out about Felipe, they to this day, I had to convince them that I know Felipe. You know what I mean? We take that picture on the plane, then I texted to him and said, I told you motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So now I see tables, you know, turning for us, you know what I mean? But we can't, like, with me, I don't look at us as individuals. I look at us as teammates, you know what I'm saying? Because we all started together, so we all from a certain class, you know what I mean? Like, me and Kat is real close, you know.
Kat when he was Kat in the Hat.
Yeah, Kat used to.
When you were at the Hop.
Yeah, Kat.
And you had your own room, too, at the bicycle club.
Yeah, me and Kat was like this, you know what I'm saying? And we started together, but Kat always come back and bless me, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, Scruncher, you good? Bam, I'll go 10,000. You want to be on a show? Bam! You want 4 shows? You know what I mean? What you want to do? Like, now he want to do my hour special and stuff like that. So,
Hell yeah, you know,
and that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? And even with Gabriel, I love it. I love his success because he honestly funny. You know what I mean? Like, he just got this this raw, adorable thing about him. You know what I mean? And I just like, because I'd be like, man, it's happy. But I'd be like, you know, like, you know, like sometime when he, I remember one time he did his first big special. You know what I mean? It's a couple times I see certain buddies and I get teary-eyed when I see a certain level of success because I think about it. You know, like I remember Felipe went on there and just smashed that show and first got his big break. I'm like, he fucking been this shit. I'm in slapping the TV like, y'all fucking been this shit. Cause I'm excited for him, you know what I mean? But then I seen the way he started coming up. You know, cause when you hit the Mexican circuit, they don't embrace everybody. They gotta like you. They don't give a fuck. I know Mexicans, they don't embrace, you know what I mean? You know, like they don't have no rules. They got rule. Be fucking funny, bro. That's it. You're not funny, fuck you. You know what I mean? You know, I seen, what was that room we used to do?
Wild Coyotes.
Wild Coyotes, right? I seen them boo a comedian in a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, bro.
And somebody yelled out, I see why you're not doing stand up.
That room was brutal,
obviously, stand up is not
hell
for
yeah,
you.
No.
So, you know, man, it's just one of those kind of games, man, where you just got to stay on your grind. Because I be going out of town, man, it's like fucking crazy. Like, you don't even know. Just these little rooms you run. I mean, like, man, how do people know me? It still fucked me up now because I'm still on some hood shit. So people be staring at me, and I don't know if it's some gangster shit or some fan shit. So I be like, what do I do? Sign an autograph or pull out a gun? You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it's like all fucked up in my head. You know what I mean? So like now I just kick back, but I like to just count money and shit, walk around a bunch of cash. You know what I mean? I do stupid shit. You know what I mean? I go to American Express card, right? So when I go to the counter, I buy a bunch of shit you don't supposed to buy. Like, I buy 2 pair of the same shit. I grab shit that's not regular, you know what I mean? Where it look like I'm stealing. And then when I pull out the card, I always pull it out of my sock and look around and shit. Act like I ain't got no ID, get all security, come up there and shit. And then if they give me a hard time, then what I'll do, I say, I tell you what, I'm going to pay for it, right? I pay for it cash, and then I just buy a bunch of shit. I get a bunch of shit. I love about $4,000, $5,000. I just pile shit on the counter. I want all that. I get arrogant, right? And I pay for it. Then I give me a receipt. I say, now I want to take it back. And I make them recharge that shit. That's what you do when they treat us bad. You know how they like to do brothers next.
Yeah.
Follow us through the store and shit. So when they start following me, I just start stealing shit. You know what I mean? Sticking it in my, you know, just, because you know, until you leave the store with it, they can't do nothing.
Right.
So I just start sticking
it. Bro, you got word loss prevention.
Yeah, you got to fucking have the concealment and then walk past
it has
the man.
$30 worth.
Yeah.
$30.
That's when they won't call the cops.
And for years, I used to steal all the sample colognes because I knew they couldn't charge me for it. that's like the best thing ever. You know them samples they have?
Yeah, the little tiny ones?
Nah, the big ones.
Oh, the big ones. All right.
They can't charge you for that because
it's not the tester.
The tester.
The tester, dog.
Man, girls used to come to my house and say, ooh, what's the name of this? Ooh, this tester? Ooh, whoa. Ooh, you got all these testers? What kind is it? Ooh, this a tester, too? They got a lot of them.
You were doing that gig, man, in Seattle where people get robbed.
Which one?
Pierre.
Oh, yeah, Pierre.
He got you, too?
Yeah, Pierre, you know what? I got to be honest. Pierre have got me one time, right?
We had Lunel here, and Lunel said, man, if you don't get robbed by Pierre, man, you're not in comedy.
But you know, Pierre robbed me one time.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, he going to have me, and Pierre got cool, right? He put me on a plane. First, I got kicked off the plane. He said, just pay your own ticket. I got you. So I pay your own ticket out there, right? And then he gave me a big check, right? And back then, it was number $500.
$700.
I get back home. The check bounced. He don't call me. So he finally called me back. I said, bro. He said, well, check the Western Union an hour. So he gave me the runaround. I said, listen, if I go in the Western Union out there, I'm spending my own money. I'm coming to your house. I'm kicking in the door, and I'm fucking getting my money, right? So he said, yeah, bro. So wasn't there, right? I get my little brother, right? Go, we catch a plane down there. I hook up one another homie. I get the gun. We go to find out where his house is. Right, kick in the fucking door. Pow! Go into the house. He's home invade that motherfucker. Right. I said, you better fucking figure out a way to get it. You finna die right now. Right. I took all kind of shit. He gave me watches and shit. Then once he gave me all the shit, right, gave me all my shit, right, and then. I felt bad because his kids was there and shit. He had a little kid. He's like, what are you doing to my dad? I'm like, your dad is a very bad man.
Your dad's a very bad man, man. Like,
well, here's the thing. So after that blows over, you know, he apologized. He gave my money back. So I gave him all this shit back. I took his car, all kind of goofy shit, right? So he said, yo, so at the time, I'm local. I'm kind of crazy. So I'm like, fuck it. So he gave me his shit back. And to this day, here go thing. Me and dude is so cool now. And guess what? His little son is a fucking high school All-American basketball star. And his little daughter is my goddaughter. You know what I'm saying? And she finna run in the Olympics. Look her up. Her name is Tierra Crockwell. She the fastest girl in 14 in America, bro. She breaking all the records. She ran with all the college kids. And she ran over at Calabasas High School. And she fucking incredible. She ran with Cole Black.
Yeah, man. His mom made me dinner.
Yeah.
His mom made me, she made me fried chicken, homemade fried chicken, and macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And then I get robbed at the end of the night.
Yeah, you know what? And Pierre, but you know what? Because Pierre, my friend now, right? So later on, I figured out he had like problems with gambling and drugs.
He had a broken leg when I met him.
Yeah, I remember that. He had that broken leg. You know what I mean?
He was living in Hawaii.
Yeah. Hey, dude. Like now, he has still changed, dude. It's like the world's always like everything like kind of changed and shit. You know what I mean? I remember even like now that I'm all like corny and shit and all nice. I still got like a bad boy reputation. So like nobody fuck with me because it's like they always compare me to Terry Crews, right? But they say the difference between you and Terry Crews, y'all both got a pet bull mentality, right? He said, but the difference between you and Terry Crews is, which one would you want? Would you want a pet bull that ain't never bit, or do you want a pet bull that's known for biting? You know what I'm saying? And he said, that's why. So I just fucked my career off just slapping the shit out the wrong people.
What'd you start at stand-up comedy? What made you decide to be a comedian?
Man, you know what?
After you do that peace treaty in prison?
Nah, what happened?
That shit was hilarious. I can't believe that really happened.
Yeah, oh I tried to God, do that shit, dog. Man.
That's what they beat the shit out of us.
Ahead of his time, huh?
Yeah. And all that trying to do the right thing shit got me fucked up. They stumped the fuck out of us, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It was like, and then they were so slick with it. Guess what they let us do? This is how they fucked us up. They let the niggas beat up the Mexican, and the Mexican beat me up. They reversed
it. Was a
them.
Deal. Yeah, well, you got them deal. Together, though.
We got it together. Then we had they beat our ass, bro, and broke our legs, all kind of shit. So, you know, man, so, but now I bring that edge to comedy, but it works on stage, but off stage, like, they still know I'm kind of local, you know what I'm saying? So they're like, there's something wrong with this dude, you know what I'm saying? But they can't deny it because I sell out shit, you know what I'm saying? So I make more money. I make more money doing, like, with no agent, no manager, you know what I'm saying? It's like good ass mattress money, you know what I mean? You know, and plus off the merchandise, you know what I mean? It's fucking cool. Then I tour my caps, so I stay busy. I don't be giving a fuck, you know. Because once the people know you funny, you know, that's like on a reality show trying to fuck with me. But at the same time, reality shows, they like to expose you. I'm scared of reality shows because it has nothing to do with you say. It's all about the editing, bro. They can edit it to make you look like a straight. They can take words that you say and make them what they want to make them do. You know what I mean? That's how come you see most of the people that's getting a lot of money nowadays, they fucking giftless. Like, they have no talent. You know what I mean? They just, you got to learn how to humiliate yourself, humiliate somebody else, exploit your family, or if you're a grown man, just fucking learn how to dance. They love men to dance in this industry. Too many fucking dance shows. I hate all dance shows. Dance with the Stars, America's Top Dancer.
Dancing Moms.
Yeah. Stop dancing, you dancing bitch. There's too much dancing. Grown man dancing is the worst.
Too much dancing, too much lip singing.
Lip singing. That's what they want you to do now. Just dance, you know what I mean? Dance and just be mean, you know what I mean? So, you know, so my era of comedy and my style is like, I always said from this day forward, I never want to be famous or a star. It's no money in that. You lose your identity in that. You know what I mean? Like all like the Oscars and shit is so stupid. You know what I mean? Like black people that got into trying to impress white people. like they give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you heard a saying called a sellout. Yeah. You don't hear that no more. It's called crossover. You know what I mean? They just changed it. So now everybody's at awe with impressing white people. I can't stand to see black people on golf courses. Like, you look stupid and unwanted. And you sit
and they I'm gonna go tell Samuel Jackson and Joe Lopez.
Get off the golf course because y'all not even doing it. You doing it to try to get accepted by white people and they don't want you there. They don't want you there, and you mess up the greens. That's why I go golfing. I make sure I take my rib dinner. I make sure I take some watermelon. I make sure I'm sagging. I break up all. I break, and I make sure I don't hit the ball. Not one time. I just throw that motherfucker.
Said sagging.
Fucking up the greens.
Fucking up the greens. You know what I mean? Oh, man, I thought it was collard greens. I didn't know them greens. Yeah, but I just like to go against the grain, homie. But I hate, but even with the Oscars, like, Pico made me mad. You got all these black actors, you know, mad because this white organization won't approve of them. You know what I mean? So they protested. But why do you need their approval to know that your talent is legitimate? You know what I mean? You don't need a trophy or their approval. Even if they give you, I mean, come on. You know, if they give Cuban Gooding Jr., would you want something after Cuban Gooding Jr.? You know what I mean? I wouldn't even want one. You know what I mean? That's like
and most of the time when you get an Oscar, you stop working.
Like, yeah, you get an Oscar, dude. You don't even have, see, once you stop, see, I don't try to impress white people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. That's why black people try to impress white people don't like black people. Be aware of that. When they tune in to trying to be politically correct, they don't like to see brothers like me because I'm impolitically correct. You know what I mean? But one thing you should never be embarrassed of your own people, bro. Be proud of your people. And my people, a bum, a crackhead, I don't care what they is, I love them because, you know what, they're my people. You know what I mean? So black people who try to impress white people is always embarrassed of their own people, which is more embarrassing. They should be more embarrassed of themselves to be embarrassed of your own people. That's because they keep on trying to impress, get white people approval. But you protesting about the Oscars, but what about Black Lives Matter and all the little black kids and the police?
Flint, Michigan, giving out water.
Flint, Michigan. Why are all the men in Flint, Michigan trying to get throwing some clean water or something?
Bring a truck. You know what I mean?
Do anything, but they want to talk about, oh, we ain't got this. So they don't like me, because guess what? I used to think it was the Jews. It's not. I used to think it was the gays. It's not. I used to think it was the white people. It's not. It's black people that don't like black people. Until we start loving each other, we never going to have none because we divided. How can one that's divided gather anything? We got to be together. You know what I'm saying? So we divided. But how are we going to be divided? Because they embarrass their brothers like right now, they embarrass the cats like me because I'm not a good old boy, you know what I'm saying? But I could be politically correct in a situation. I'm going to embarrass you, you know, I'm intelligent, I'm smart. But at the same time, I'm going to keep it 100. I ain't finna go up here and no, who going to be a fan of Donald Trump? Come on now. all them black preachers that spoke up on behalf of Donald Trump, I was just embarrassed. Like, who, come on, I mean... I'm a real one, homie. Like, I was hoping to God I could have helped El Chapo get away. Like, like I'm always going El for the Chapo. Yeah, like, I go for the underground, bro. You know what I'm saying? I love criminals. Because it's not about, because guess what? The real criminals is the ones that hide behind the law to break the law. These little blue-collar criminals, they just focus on the ones with the blue collars to make us look bad. But it's the ones in politicians. Judges are criminals. You know why? They invest into prisons. So they have to convict you. They have to hide behind the law to make money. So the ones that hide behind the law, they is the biggest criminals and they the worst criminals. When you hide behind good to do bad, bro, that's evil. A bad boy that's a bad boy, he's just a bad boy. You know what I mean? But a good boy who hide a bad boy that hide behind good, that's evil, bro.
Enough about Ted Cruz.
You know what I'm saying? And if you can openly say you like Donald Trump, you're a sellout. I would never. If Donald Trump gave me $1 billion, I wouldn't mess with him. You know why? They scared of him. Samuel Jackson talk all that gangster shit, right? Donald Trump talked about him like a dog. He didn't say nothing. You know why? Because he been placed. Remember in this business, bro, you know why I can say what I want to say? Because it's not what you know. It's not who you know. It's what you know about who you know. And guess what? They don't know shit about me. That's why I can say what I want to say.
It's Scruncho.
The robot, the fucking aquariums.
Don't know about the aquariums and that gangster shit.
The mattresses.
little church boots.
Yeah, man, I don't know about it. So like with me, I'm a rebel. And all the comedians that, you know, like Kevin Hart, that's my little dude. I love dude. You know what I mean? So, because guess what? He playing the game the way he supposed to be playing it. You know what I mean? He went from something to everything. You know what I mean? Is he politically correct? Yes. You know what I mean? And guess what? He do a lot for people, but he move in silence. You know what I mean? I don't hate on winners, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mike Epps, he more gangster than me. When we go to clubs and go out, I have to stop Mike Epps from getting us in trouble. He a gangster, homie. You know, with all due respect, he don't fuck around. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Cat Williams, gangster. You know, these cats are, like, real ones. You know what I'm saying? Gabriel even a gangster. He scared me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they don't want to show that side, but I've been exposed. You know what I mean? And if I had moved in silence, I'd be a giant now. You know what I mean? But I'm exposed. So, I'm like, I'm the one they could just say, hey, let's Scruncho, you bully, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been exposed. But at the end of the day, none of them can't fuck with me on stage. Give me a stage and a mic, and they'll know who the best is. But being the best has nothing to do with your talent. Being the best is accumulation of a bunch of things. Good management, good agent, good publicist. It's a business, you know what I mean? This ain't about that mic no more. It's a business. And being politically correct is important, you know what I mean? But I don't want to be politically correct. I just want to be correct. You know what I'm saying? And that's what gangsters do. You know what I'm saying? That's what I am, bro.
Yeah, man. Like, when I was in that show, This Is Not Happening, on Comedy Central. That's the show with Ari Shaffir as airing Tuesdays on Comedy Central at 12:30. Mine airs on March 22nd.
Cool.
Man, in the show, all you do is talk about whatever, a story that happened in your life, right? Right. So there's a lot of comics, they're telling stories, this story that happened to them. Oh, well, this story happened to that person. Fool, I was the last person in the taping. Last motherfucker, like the last comic to tape. and I did keep it 100, bro, and I got people to cry. laugh at my true story, bro. And I told my true story about getting into the fight that changed my life when I was on PCP.
Yeah.
And they weren't ready for that story.
Hey, hell, they love that
real
too.
Shit.
They love that real. See, right now, everything is so soft, right?
Yeah.
What social media did, you go to the flip side of social media. It fucked everybody. It desensitized people at their common sense. And once your common sense go, there go your morals. So now everybody is pretending to be what they trying to be, but really not trying to be what they pretending to be. You know what I mean? So everybody fake by circumstances. You know what I mean? So now it kills your fucking journey. You know what I mean? It kills, like, we got substance. You know, one thing we had a chance to do, our minds had a chance to develop. So we could separate the real from the fake. But if your mind ain't never developed, you get all this social media and shit. Social media and the internet, it's like a garbage truck pulling up to your fucking house, just unloading a bunch of shit in your house. You know what I mean? Eventually, your house is going to be full of shit. You know what I'm saying? So everything coming out of it is just a bunch of blah, 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 blah. So that's how come it's like a one world order. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they programmed us now. You know what I mean? You can go and say, such and such, they don't even give a fuck. Once you program, you know, programming overrides everything. You know what I mean? Just like no matter what nobody do, once they program you as a human being, we all program. So now, even we'll go pay and see a comedian who we know is not funny. But we'll pack the auditorium or the venue to see him, right? And we'll laugh our ass off. Then we get to the car and say, that motherfucker wasn't that funny. Because we program, you know what I mean? And they can program people that they can control. See, if they can't control you, why would they can't program? It's like, if I was going out of town, I'm hustling, I'm slanging and selling dope and shit, who I'm going to take out of town with me? I ain't going to take no other notorious gangster killers out of town. I can't control them. I'm going to take some young, weak dudes who hungry, who trying to get it, who look up to me that I can control. That way I can control it. You know what I mean? So they don't want to troll nothing that's developed. Why fuck with that too much? You know what I mean? Because it's just smart business. You know, so they'd rather take, because the less you know, the more likely you are to succeed. You know what I mean? Nobody want to fuck with nobody who know it. Because if you know it all, what you need me for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But Scruncho goes around, bro, to give the headliner street cred. I know that now. Like, I will go on tour with some people and they go, like, all right. He goes, this fool acting tough now because I'm here or what?
Exactly.
Hold me back, Scruncho. Hold me back.
Bumping into people and shit all of a sudden.
But at the same time, like, if I'm, whatever I'm to the West Coast, that's what he is to, I mean, whatever I'm to the brothers, that's what Felipe is to Latinos. Like, they respect that, you know what I mean? Because he's different, he grimy, you know what I mean? He never looked at like he got some sense, you know what I mean? you know, and he always had his story is raw, you know what I mean? And you can hear the hurt in his shit, but then at the end of the day, people like him because he truthful, you know? People want to know the truth. That's why they see me, they respect me. Scruncho, so I hit the stage. My jokes make sense, you know what I mean?
Fool remembers Scruncho Wild Coyote. Oh, those are crazy fool from Long Beach.
Little skates.
People want stuff real now, bro. Like, nobody want nothing. Nobody want that, all this put together shit. You know what I mean? So you see cats like, when you take cats who industry, you know, I ain't gonna blast on name, but you see cats who the industry didn't gave them the light, but then you see cats like Felipe with God gave them the light, the two different kind of lights, bro. You know what I'm saying? Industry's trying to gravitate to God light now because all that industry light don't work. That should die on you quick, you know what I mean? It's a quick burn, you know what I mean? This light he got, dude, I never seen him have a bad set. He come in black rooms and his people still ask me about Felipe. Like, my daughter seen him one time, and it was probably about 14, 15, and they still be like, oh, damn, the guy with the hair, Felipe. They call me everything. Felipe, you know.
Feliciano.
Don't nobody mess up a Mexican name like black people, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, Felupo.
The guy with the Fallopian, you know that guy?
Fallopian, you know.
Man, when did you decide, man, because I seen you, like, Rodrigo keep saying the skates. Yeah. And man, and I saw you when you did that show, man, it was a small crowd. And man, you fucking put on those skates. I always tell my wife that, no, bro, no, babe, Scrunchie could skate like a motherfucker.
Know why I learned how to skate, bro? When I was real little, right? I was extremely ugly, right? I was ugly as fuck.
Who told you that, bro?
Nah, I was, bro. Look, I was not. I was so ugly when I was little. I was not. My dad wouldn't allow I wasn't allowed to smile or nothing, right? You know why? When I was born, I was the first. I had a deficiency that only affected one out of 17,000 kids a year, where I was born with a full set of teeth. So as soon as I smiled, so
everyone was born with Jimmy Carter-itis.
Yeah. So the first time I smiled, my dad lost his mind. What the fuck is that? And so from that point on, he hated my smile. Look, bro, I'm not bullshitting you, bro. Listen, man. When I was so ugly, I never got picked up, right? I was smart and I was intelligent, right? Because I was gifted. This is how smart I was. I never got picked up, right? So I learned how to start walking by the time I was 7 weeks. And then, because nobody picked me up, so I had to learn. And here go how. See, I was smart enough to learn how to change my own diaper by the time I was 4. But I was kind of dumb because I didn't learn how to get potty trained until I was 12. So you see the contract.
You're not ugly, man. You're like Hank Aaron and Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, but you know what? I got so ugly as I got older, I just started, the ugly got cute. You know what I'm saying? But you just got used to the ugly. You know what I mean? But here's the thing about when you ugly, right? I never got complimented without black and ugly being in the compliment. You's a cute little ugly black boy. Or, man, you show is, your little ugly self show is fast. You know what I mean? Like, every compliment came with ugly or black in
front. That ugly kid just hit another home run.
Boy, that ugly kid just hit another home run. Boy, that little black boy sure look nice in that suit on. You know, like, I didn't have a choice. So, it was so subliminal to me. So, my brother said, look, you're 12, man. You know, you start liking girls. But you know what? If you're going to get girls, it's going to be hard to get them with your face alone. He said, but you got to figure out. And so I was listening because I knew this already, right? So I said, what you think I should do? He said, look, you got to do something to get the attention off your face, right? He said, if you learn how to skate and they see your feet, and then if you're real good on your skates, by the time they look up at your face, they got to make a decision. You know, and they give you a 50-50 chance. You know, so I learned how to skate, and girls say, oh, he can skate good. They look at my face and say, well, I guess he can skate, you know. And it gave me a start, you know what I'm saying? So, and that's how I learned how to skate, because I had to keep the attention off my face.
He should do the backstroke, bro.
Oh, you tear a room up with that bit.
Splits. Yeah.
Like, I stopped skating on stage for a long time because, you know, it's just started being like, oh, man, skate. So I wanted to just strengthen my material so to where now once in a while I might pull out the skates, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but when it comes to this, I got a one-man show that I'm doing called All I Needed Was a Hug. Kind of gangster. You know what I'm saying? I like to tell all the stories about just growing up and shit. You know what I mean? I had a buddy, my best friend when I was older. It's a guy named, I wonder what happened to him. It's a guy named Bernie Gill, right? He was my best friend, Mexican dude, right? He's came out, he played football with me. And they introduced me to the Latino culture. I used to spend the night over there. We played Pop Warner. You know what I mean? And he taught me how to... taught me what guacamole was. Because the first time I ate a guacamole, I grabbed it in a bowl. I thought it was an apple. I just bit into the motherfucker. He said, no, bro. You got to cut it like this. He put some tortillas on it and shit. You know what I mean? And me and him, we used to hustle. We used to go to school. And we used to sell, like, we used to make little taco rolls. And we were really the first one to start selling tacos, me and Bernie. That's how we made our money. You know what we used to do to make our money, too? We said, because we was poor. We didn't get lunches. So what I did, I went to Lost and Found and got lunch pail, right? And then I load the lunch pail up with all my mama ingredients, like the seasoning salt, hot sauce and shit. Then at lunch, I just start seasoning kids' food and testing it. Like, hold on, check this out, bro. There you go. Put that on there. Then I test them and taste it. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Then I start hustling seasoning. And I thought, until I come up with a complete lunch.
Or is that tahini dog? Hustling seasoning.
Hustling seasoning.
For their spices, bro.
Yeah,
man. For sure with a spice rack.
Yeah, you know, and then
you just pour some pepper real quick.
And then that's back in the days when Chico the Man was out, you know what I mean? And I remember me and Bernie, he came to our school, and it was a time when Latinos had just first start talking strong Spanish, you know what I mean? It had a strong accent, you know what I mean? So Bernie started teaching me like all the Mexican cuss words. So we be in class cussing like a motherfucker, busted up. We call a teacher all kind of Mexican cuss names and shit. And me and Bernie,
Picha cabrona.
Picha cabrona and shit. And they said, she said, we have no peaches in here. Stop acting peaches. And we used to get in trouble and shit. I always wonder what happened to Bernie Gill, man. We should try to find him. His name, Bernie Gill, and he had a brother named Gilbert. Gilbert was older and shit. We used to steal all his little he used to have a bunch of zuzus and wham whams and shit, you know, candies and shit. We go in there and steal all this little shit and replace it with other shit. You know what I'm saying? We just fucking bad, bro.
That's funny, man, how you say that. Before Facebook, MySpace and all that, do you remember that Gangster magazine?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Teen Angel.
Yeah.
That was the first time I would see Crips and Bloods on the same page.
Lowrider bikes and shit. Yeah.
Every once in a while, a guy from prison will send his ask for a pen pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, holler at my boy, man. He's in Folsom. Just see a picture of him loped up in black and white. Yeah. Here's a piece of his art.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious. I remember that shit.
Here's a new poem called Freedom.
God damn.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, Chain Letter. Y'all like Struncho?
Y'all heard of him?
Hey, we should get some of your followers to follow me. Tell them.
Don't follow me, man. What's your Twitter?
The Real Scruncho. The Real Instagram. Scruncho.
Also, people, he's also in the Chronic album.
Yeah, the Chronic. 2001.
Yo, Scruncho.
Hey, man, what's cracking with all these old broke ass hoes here? Nigga, what? I'm a hustler,
baby.
Yeah, I remember that.
How'd you get that?
Man, you know what? We're Dre, my dog, right? So, you know,
Dre.
No, me, Gabriel, right? And I want to say you. We went and did a party for Suge Knight.
Remember that was that? Gabriel.
Yeah.
Gabriel killed it, yeah.
Yeah, we went and did it.
For Suge Knight's mom.
Suge Knight moms. I hooked them up with a party for Suge Knight moms. And they took a liking to us, right? And we just killed them. It was on a boat, you know what I mean? And after we did the party, they called me and they wanted me to do the Return to Death Row album. So I said, ooh, you know, the best of Death Row. So I went to do the video, but it was all like gang shit, like wanted me to diss Dre and diss Snoop and diss. I said, man, I ain't finna diss. Like, and it was like disrespectful because it was when FUBU was out.
Yeah.
So they gave me I went to the trailer. I said, here go your wardrobe. And it was like a red FUBU outfit. I said, man, I ain't putting that on. They said, man, I know you gangbang. I said, dude. Whether I gangbang or not, this is a Suge Knight video. It's not like I'm doing a Puff Daddy video. You know what I'm saying? A Suge Knight video, the red shit means something. I said, man, I ain't wearing no red FUBU outfit on me. So I said, all right. So I got the script. They wanted me to diss Snoop, diss Dre. I said, man, I'm out of here. I ain't doing none of that shit. You know what I mean? And I walked away from it. And then Dre got whiff of it. And then he called me. And he said, what was they offering you? And I told him what they had offered me. Then he said, man, that was strong of you. Because the director that was there called Dre and told him what I did. And then Dre said that was honorable. Then he came back. He put me on the album, you know what I mean? Then he said, what they pay you? I told him what they offered me. Then he paid me double that. And that's how I ended up getting on it.
Hell yeah, dog.
So ever since then, we was cool. Actually,
You went on the tour too, right?
Yeah, I was on the tour, the Chronic tour. You know what I'm saying?
You're opening up doing comedy?
Yeah. I
was what was that like? Because they're not expecting a comedian to go up, man, first of all. Boo, Scruncho.
That shit was scary. Like, it was scary as fuck.
Honestly, bro, it was scary.
It was scared.
Fools be lying. That was fun, but I rocked it.
You guys were doing big rooms, too.
It was so big. We were doing, like, stadiums.
The pond and shit.
Yeah, it was so big that you see your face on the... And your voice echoes. So you had to kind of learn how to time your voice. As a little comedian, delay. Because a slight delay. And it was like, man. And it was kind of cool. But it was like fucking scary. You know, then it started getting a little easier. You know what I mean? But it was like, it was really. Plus, it was like first time ever me ever really being on that big of a stage. And luckily, it was just a lot easier to just kind of freestyle and just have fun with it. You know, so it was really good. It was like a good look. Plus, I got a chance to, like, me and Snoop, when we was younger, we worked together at it was a store called Lucky's Grocery Store.
Lucky's became Albertsons.
Yeah. We worked at Lucky's as box boys. We was box boys, and we started stealing. We were stealing inventory. And so
Snoop was always skinny, huh?
Yeah, he was always skinny, you know what I mean? And then we'd load up the inventory in the trash, and then we'd throw... So Snickers and shit, we start making money off the buses, you know, going to buses and selling our shit. And then one day they was waiting for us back there. So we came out all the shit. They was waiting, the staff and everybody was waiting. And they just fired us. We just kind of, you know. But then we did a movie later on that when we played that role in the movie. A movie called Bossing Up. You know what I mean? We took the scene from the liquor store and shit and put it in the movie. That was good, you know. That was really sweet.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, so we hustling, man.
So what's your webpage?
Scruncho.com.
Scruncho.com and Real Scruncho. And you're on Instagram?
Yeah, The Real Scruncho on Instagram. You
and know? Twitter, right? Same?
Yeah, Twitter.
Where are you going to be at next?
I got to go. I got 9 shows. Only thing I'm doing is the Improv. Then I got Texas. We'll be at the Texas Improv. I got
Addison or Fort Worth.
I got me and Mike got at Fort Worth.
Fort Worth Improv.
Yeah, I got Fort Worth Improv coming up. I got Atlanta. I'll be at Uptown Comedy Club, and then I got to go back to Atlanta to shoot my reality show, and I'm doing my one man show too. You know, All I Needed Was a Hug. And I'm shooting a lot. I'm starting to shoot a lot of sketches.
They got you in Richard Pryor movie playing Flip Wilson.
Man, you know what?
They should, man.
You know what? If I would probably be scared to play it because I'm not going to put on a dress.
Oh, that's true. I already did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like with me, it's just more of a, it just go against my brand and, you know what I mean? It's just, and it's not, like, it's crazy how that worked, though, because, like, white people in other races can do that shit. It's not, it don't really carry no, it don't have no real psychological significance to it. It's just jokes. You know what I mean? Like how white people can do stuff like, you know, play with each other balls in a movie and nobody consider, you know, cause nobody consider them gay. You know what I mean? It's not like gay. You know, it's like they can do anything. And people are like, oh, that's so hilarious. You know, but black people, we can't do that. Like, our whole culture turned on us. You know
I know,
mean?
Man. Keith Moore hasn't been the same.
Yeah, like Keith Moore. Once he got on there and talking about he sucked the nigga dick. His career was done. You know, like, you just can't. Like,
it can be hard after that, huh?
Yeah, it's just not good business. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're a hard comic or a hard actor like Emilio Ribera, I don't see him ever playing a chick, ever.
Yeah, like, you know what? And even with me, like, I just... You know, and you know what? Am I? You know, it's like as an actor, you want to think, but like with me, it'd probably be a real struggle to play a female part. You know what I mean? But they seem like they always want to offer me that kind of stuff too. Like, I got this. I was gonna do this one role in the movie where I played a little gangster convict, but then somewhere in the script they had me get knocked down by Aryan Nation. I'm like, this role not gonna work for me. You know what I mean? You know, so.
They're Mexican, then county jail.
Yeah, you got to be willing to do. You can't be. And then here's the thing about even with gay people, it's like you got to be like, you got to learn how to like understand the things you don't understand because You know, I used to be a homophobic where I didn't understand the gay shit. But the truth of the matter is, you know, God create, because I got a little nephew, right, who, you know, when he was born, I realized I was wrong because my nephew was the first gay baby I ever met. You know what I mean? And I'm like, God ain't going to make no gay baby and send a gay baby to hell if he created the gay baby. So it, why would you judge gay people and think gay people going to hell? Like, I just don't believe it. I used to believe it, but I think that's a lie. Because I think God say don't judge. I think when you judge people, you know what I'm saying? I think you worse than the person you judging. I think.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think, and guess what? Out of all the people in the world that ever treated me fairly, guess what? And the people that treated me wrong, it wasn't the white people. Well, it was like white people, but it wasn't the gay people. You know what I'm saying? My people, I struggle with more than any people. You know what I mean? Like, gay people ain't never did nothing to me. So, you know, you got to break them old ways. You know what I mean? So, and especially with the gay people, really, they look out for you the most. You know, once they respect your manhood, they don't try that shit. It's just like if we smoke weed, you know what I mean? We ain't going to smoke it around your mama. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know how to dab. Like, if we cuss, we're not going to go in your church and start cussing. Gay people the same way. If you're not gay, they're not just going to be, hey, let me play with your titty. They're going to be. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Like, gays ain't gonna be at church going, man, the priest looks good.
Yeah, like, gay people ain't like
that. That's their fear. That's their own fear.
That's the phobia of being a homophobic. You know, like, you know, once you get the, you know, they just really, no, they really, really, like, you know, they cool as anybody. You know what I'm saying? So, me, over the years, I just learned how to just let everybody be them. You know what I mean? And I treat people according to how they treat me. They fair to me, I'm fair to them. I don't care if they're black, white, red, blue, gay, straight. I could care less. All I care less is, you know, good people don't have. Because God say, you know, God is love and love is God. And God, love only come in two ways. It come in action and reaction. The actions of what you do is love. And if somebody say something to you, your reaction can be of love. And that's all God. And that's the love in you. So if you got God in you, then you reflect love. Anything else is just an excuse to project hate. You know what I mean? So if you need a title, you know, you take a title, say, okay, I'm a homophobic. Okay, now you just took that title. Now you gave hate, now you gave evil life. So you can't find reasons to give evil life. You know what I mean? So the way you don't give evil life is you just, you know, practice love and just be good to people who are good to you, and people not good to you, work on taking their hate and making it good, and then you be good people. That's all it is. It's real simple, you know. Just be a fucking nice person and stop judging people. That's the problem.
So what happened on Chocolate Sunday that night?
You know what?
Frustration as a comedian, man. Yeah. People don't know. People get fucking bumped. It gets annoying after a while.
Now, when I had a fight, here go what happened. I'm gonna tell y'all the story for the first time ever. This is an exclusive. Since the case is over. Here got a story, right? I'm a man of morals. You know what I mean? Like, people say, man, you fight over a girl? I fight over my girl. You know what I'm saying? I will fight for my girl. Let's get that straight right now. Now, here's the rules with your girl. Now, if you meet my girl, right, and my girl say, and you run off with my girl, then that's your girl. You know what I mean? I can't get mad at who she choose to love, right? But now... And if you're a stranger, you meet my girl, you know what I'm saying? For example, maybe about, you know, I had another incident where a guy called me and said, hey, man, you fucking my wife. I said, who is your wife? He said, Shantae. I said, Shantae? I said, with all due respect, dude, I don't know you. I said, I never met you. I said, so it's impossible for me to be fucking your wife. Your wife can only be fucking me. You know what I'm saying? I said, you got the vows and commitment between her and God. That's who you should be talking to, not me. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I said, don't get mad at me. Then he gonna get, I told him, I said, all due respect, right? I said, because she got a tattoo on her ass, right, that say scratch your bitch, right, that she had years ago, right? I said, you married a woman with scratch your bitch tattooed on her ass without getting it removed before you gave her a ring, with all due respect. So if you really want to be honest, you really fucking my bitch more than I'm fucking your wife.
So he said, I would kill you.
But on the other hand, with the same thing applies, you know. So when dude, as a comedian, we family, you know what I'm saying? So Felipe is my friend, right? And I consider him my friend. When Felipe, he gave his wife, so his wife see me when he not around, she's going to be nice to me. Hi, Scruncho. Because Felipe said I was cool, right? So now, out of respect, as a friend, my job as a friend is to protect his family and his friend. Anything he love, I love more when he not around, so I protect them. That's what friends do. So when she see me, she said, oh, Scruncho let me in. Scruncho's coming. And I looked out for his friends. I protect him. So our friendship don't start when I'm in his face. My friendship start when he not around. So when he not around, my job is to protect his name, protect everything he love. That's what friends do. You know what I mean? Now, if I'm his, say, his friend, and I take the title of being his friend, you know what I mean? And he turned his back, and then I get at his wife, number one, I'm wrong there. And number two, if I throw him under the bus to get at his wife, I'm double wrong. You know what I mean? And then if his wife don't bite and she come back and tell him, Scruncho got at me, you know what I'm saying? Then Felipe, out of respect, should beat my fucking ass. And that's what the fuck happened. You know what I mean? You know, it was the principles and the morals behind him getting that ass whooped. Because, you know, back in the days, an emperor used to try to, when you take over a kingdom, you know what I mean, they'd take it. When you try to overthrow the emperor and you lose, they were so gangster back in the days, they say, listen, in order, since you lost, and you lost, because if you overtake the emperor, you the king, and everybody that helped you try to take them, they all get assigned, and that's your kingdom. But if you lose, and it don't work, and then the emperor gonna make, they not gonna kill you, they gonna make you kill yourself. And if you don't kill yourself, they gonna kill your family. That's how gangster used to be, you know what I'm saying? But when he went after my girl and he failed, you know what I'm saying? Now, if he'd have won and he'd have ran off with the sun and the sun said my girl, I'd have had a man up and say, that's your girl. And I had to take that. You know what I mean? But since he failed, he had to deal with the consequences. And I told him, when I see you, I'm going to beat your ass on the spot. And that's what I did, because it was honorable that he took an ass whooping. But because he go under different rules, where I got in trouble is, see, if I go beat a little dude ass like Kevin Hart or somebody like that, I'm wrong, because Kevin Hart not a street dude, and street dudes don't put their hands on people who's not street dudes. You can't do that, because they're, you know, you wrong. But if you're a street dude, you know the rules. We go by a different set of rules. You know different what I'm saying? Creed. Now, he went under the code of a street dude. So when I knocked his ass out, right, he woke up and pressed charges. So he was a bitch nigga.
Oh man.
He was a classic bitch nigga. You know what I mean? So it made me look good in one way, but it hurt me in another way, because now the industry back scared of me again, because they know I swing. they know my I go by a different set of rules that not don't apply.
What an idiot! What a punk that fool was!
Yeah, he's a sucker. He snitched.
He's still trying to get at you.
And he 6'4", 250. I am 1 inch taller than Kevin Hart. You know what I mean? You know, and I only weigh like maybe 185, 190. You know what I'm saying? So he's a big pussy at that. You know what I'm saying? So he just wasn't, you know, because he went up by the street rules. And then only thing hurt me is, back in the days, you fight. I can name a ton of comedians that have fights, right? But unfortunately, I just came in an era where the viral is just real popular. So once I fight somebody, it's like, it then went viral and shit. You know what I mean? So, you know, people in the industry, like the business people in the industry, they don't want that type of stuff at their productions and their brand on their stages. So it hurt me, but you know what I mean? So now I had to go, you know. So, like, nothing real in this world work no more. So I'm just too real for this world.
You know? But now you're on the What's Up Fool podcast, and our listeners got your back.
Yeah, man.
Everybody, man, you heard Real Scruncho, man. Follow him on Twitter.
The and Real him, Scruncho. Hey, Scruncho is spelled S-C-R-U-N-C-H-O. You know what I mean? And I'll fuck with y'all.
Man. Yeah, man. He's looking for a lady to name her Scrunchy.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, it's just, every man should protect your wife. You know what I mean? You should protect woman. You should protect your girl. And your friends have an obligation to you. You know what I mean? You don't want no people looking in your face, trying to get at your wife and all that shit. That's not good etiquette. It's not good business. And if a man don't fight for who he love and don't fight for his family, then he's not a fucking man. You know what I mean? And I'm a man first, comedian second.
Hell yeah.
What's up, fool? You want to give me your Instagram? You already have your dates?
What's up, fool? I like the way you say it.
Come on, yeah, man, bro.
Yeah, man, bro.
What's up, Rodrigo? Where are you going to be at, bro? What's
chilling, up? Dog.
March 17, Ontario Improv.
Ontario Improv. Check us out. St. Patty's Day, 8 p.m. show.
This week, I'm at Cleveland Improv. I know it's freezing out there, but please show up.
Yeah, all Cleveland show up, man.
February 25th through 28th at Hilarities, Saturday and Sunday, Hilarities. Irvine Improv, California, March 3rd to the 6th, Irvine Improv. Tampa, Florida. I'm coming to Ybor City, March 17th to the 20th. Tampa Improv. New York City, yes. I'm going up April 1st at the Hot 97 Comedy Jam at Madison Square Garden. Tracy Morgan hosting. Felipe Esparza going up first, probably.
Kill it.
I'm going to slide in and do 15 minutes.
That's going to be good to see Tracy.
Take photos. I'm going to take photos with everybody on the show. I'm probably going to watch their set. I'm going to just leave as soon as my set.
Nah, man, hang on, man.
And my wife, you know, we're going to be there. She hasn't been to New York in 9 years.
Whoa.
Or 11.
Go to, make sure you go to Canal Street. They got the best knockoffs ever. You ever go to knockoffs?
I love knockoffs, bro.
Oh, man, I don't wear nothing but the fake, brother. I bet the best fake. This girl going to tell me, Scratch, I think that Louis Vuitton belt you got on is fake. I said, bitch, I know. Right.
You never seen my Air Boots?
That's Air Boots,
man. Little three-stripe boots.
When you said you play with those boots, it reminded me of some guy at the Silver Lake Park. This guy, black dude, would show up. He plays in Venice now. But he always played with cowboy boots.
Yeah. So what's up, man? You don't like my Jordans?
I used to play in church shoes and everything, man.
That's you're an amazing man, bro. You're an amazing comedian.
Hey, man, we should do our own Black and Brown Underground Edition. That'd be sweet. Black and Brown Underground Edition.
For all things comedy.
Yeah, for all things comedy.
Spinoff. Rodrigo's gonna spin off. Man.
We call it Black and Brown, the Black and Brown they don't want you to see. Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah, we're trying to also Scruncho. When I met him at the airport, he introduced me to Freeway Rick Ross on the phone, bro.
Yeah,
they go way back.
Real friend Rick Ross. I used to work for him, right? He had so much money, bro, right? And I used to work for him, I did the work, and then you know how you go come pick your money up. I had $73,000 of his money. And I said, man, I got your money, bro. He's all right, I get it. Right? And 2 weeks passed. I said, bro, I got your money. I get it. It took him about 4 months to come get the money and to the point where he forgot about it. Then I said, man, you forgot your money. He said, oh, man, my bad, man. Just bring me $20,000. You keep the rest. Like that, bro.
Wow.
That's how much money he had. Like,
shitloads of money.
Say so. Maybe you could come in and co-host with me when we have Rick
Ross. Absolutely, yeah,
we'll do the What's So Fool podcast. What's here was.
Oh yeah, Rick is the shit.
Co-host.
He made like he right back out making a killing. You know what I mean? Like he has shitloads of money.
He was trying to sue the Rick Ross rapper, right?
Yeah, I told him
He
should have did.
He wanted $2 million. You told me
he should have did that shit. You know what I mean? Because it was just to me. I think he shouldn't have did it. You know what I mean? But Rick is he genius in his own way. You know what I mean? But I think he should have. He got out. Somebody in jail convinced him of doing that shit, but he shouldn't have did it. I think he should have embraced the brand. You know what I mean? And handed it to him and certified him and ate off that. You know what I mean? And he'd have got introduced to a whole new culture of people. I think it was a politically babble, but then who am I to say politically correct? I am known as a politically correct. I should do a stand-up called Politically Incorrect.
Politically correct.
Just say that shit on that shit to be gangster.
What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres, man. Yeah. Gonna start the Yeah Man podcast.
Yeah, man.
After 100 episodes, it'll be all Rodrigo.
And
it'll
be his baby. How you get a podcast? How you get a podcast?
Right here, bro.
You just get a podcast?
Right here. By the recorder.
Just buy a tape recorder or something?
Yeah, man.
How you do this shit? You don't know about this technology shit.
Rodrigo, yeah, man.
How many people you got listening?
50,000 downloads?
You got over 50?
A month.
100?
Per month.
What?
Yeah, we rank number 165 on iTunes.
Damn. You feel a bubble in this bitch, huh?
Yeah, man. We're trying to get advertisement.
Do it, help get your, like, views up and stuff.
Yeah, it helps people get views, and we get a whole new audience from all over the world. Like, we got our friend in Ireland.
Hell yeah, dude. Glenn Carlin.
Glenn Carlin. We got another listener in Amsterdam and Denmark. Chloe,
Cleo.
Right?
Cleo.
Damn, that's dope.
Then we got a bunch of fools in Whittier, California, Long Beach.
Hey, they're going to go crazy after this one, man. They love real niggas.
They do, man. They do.
Hell yeah.
They like this real shit.
I think after this, you should go on the Joey Diaz podcast. That's right, cocksuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
Joey, I always thought that would be an awesome show. Joey and fucking Scruncho and Felipe.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be fun.
That's the real
dope.
Underground.
Man, that's real underground, man. Like, motherfuckers scared of us on ground. We so motherfucking underground. Really, really, we not even underground.
Put me up before Scrunch or whatever you do.
Hey, I go up so late, my nickname is Tomorrow.
This guy coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
In the wee hours.
Tonight.
What's up, fool? Thank you very much, Scruncho. What's your real name?
Anthony. I lose all my confidence. Anthony.
That's my son's name, too. What's up, Rodrigo? Anything to add, bro?
Nothing. You were also, you're a BET star on Comic View.
Oh, yeah, I did BET. I was four times All-Star on BET, Def Jam.
Apollo.
I did all that shit, you know what I'm saying?
You're like me, man.
Puff Daddy, Bad Boys of Comedy.
I noticed that when you first started the stand-up comedy, you started off kind of like me because, like, you're a gangster, you know, and I grew up in the hood, too.
Yeah.
And, like, we don't know how to come out and shit and dress.
Yeah.
I remember sometimes I would see you dressed in blue.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you walk into Wild Coyote, like, in your little mid-cut boots.
Yeah.
You were dressed up nice.
Right.
Like, you just left a date or something.
Yeah, I started trying to clean up because when I went to prison, they told me, say, bro, you know, they said being a real nigga is not about how you dress. It's a set of rules. He said, when you know the rules, that's what make you real, not the way you look. You know what I mean? So, you know, like, watch Felipe, you know, he dressed real, looked different, but what came out of him was realer than all that shit. You know what I mean? So it all made sense. You know what I'm saying? So I clean up a little bit, you know, try to, you know what I'm saying? I still stay in the gym, try to stay in cut-ups. I always try to keep my knuckle game on deck.
You're ripping them up for
the floor. Because they always ask, why y'all got security? I'm like, how am I paying them?
Let's take a photo, fool.
Hell yeah.